Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris McCole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today is technically episode 100. iTunes will tell you differently. It will say 101. But for whatever reason, our first episode was recorded as episode number 2. So we don't know where that one was, but either way, we are so excited to be here for 100 episodes. And I just appreciate all of you listeners and wanted to kind of celebrate this milestone by just talking about some silly stories of things that have happened. We designed this podcast to talk to you about our failures. And so we tried to pick out some of the number one failures throughout the journey. And then we also want to just shed some light on reasons why the prep life is so important to us and why we kind of like our top 10 as to why we enjoy living the prep life. Do you have anything to add to that, Chris?
Yeah, no, I appreciate all the listeners. I think that we've been able to reach a lot of people, which is such a huge blessing. But I think it's more of a blessing to hear people give us their feedback of how the episodes have been able to help influence them to have a positive prep life. And yeah, I definitely think that sometimes people don't realize that we've made a ton of mistakes. And so I definitely think it's important to know that we're not perfect. We'll share with you what we've messed up with so that you can learn from our mistakes. But prep life has definitely brought us a lot of really positive benefits.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk about some things that have gotten lost in translation along the way when it comes to just the actual prepping part, the day-to-day, some mistakes that we've made. So, Chris, I feel like you have like probably one of the funnier stories when we first started working together. Can you share with the listeners that story?
Yes. Okay. So the first, my first ever prep with Amy, I was following a meal plan that gave me an option for some lean proteins, and on there was orange roughy, which if, I mean, I'm from the East Coast and I have never seen orange roughy ever. And for some reason I was reading it as, cause it said orange roughy 4 ounces, and my brain was reading it as roughly 4 ounces of orange. So I don't know how it got all like turned around in my brain, but I was literally eating a meal weighing out 4 ounces of an orange. So I was eating like mushrooms with orange. It was absolutely delicious. It was the best meal I've ever had in my whole entire life. And I did that for like 3 weeks. And at one point, I don't know what like clicked in my brain, and I looked back and I read it.
I can tell you how we discovered this. Yes.
Tell me how.
Okay. So this is where it becomes super important that you communicate with your coach. If something does not feel right, you need to address that. And I remember you telling me you could not figure out why your blood sugars just kept crashing. And I was like, okay, you know, like on our call, we were like going through, okay, tell me exactly what you're eating. And then you're like telling me orange, and I'm like, what? You're eating oranges? I'm like, that's not on your plan. And I was like, where's your lean protein? And then we just started talking about how it's a white fish and how you're like, oh my gosh, no wonder I was feeling so shaky and so crappy. So yeah, that's how we discovered that one. I think it might have gone on, if not.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I'm glad that we talked about it because it was, yeah, it was so long. And I was like, I don't understand. Clearly, a fruit is not the same macro content as a piece of white fish. And that day I learned that orange roughy is a fish. So you learn all kinds of things in prep.
Yeah. And then another one, too, was you. So this was on your journey to pro. As you were in between Universe and North Americans, I remember you kept telling me how you were getting like the sweats after your post-workout meal and how you were tracking your blood sugars and they were just tanking. And so once again, we went through what you were exactly eating. And do you want to share with our listeners about the pancakes?
Yeah. So pancakes were part of my post-workout meal. So they were the carbohydrates that I was using. And I think I was on vacation in Florida at this point too. And I was cooking like double the amount of pancakes. So they were like, they didn't have fiber, so they were like fast digesting. And so I was eating double the amount. And yeah, my blood sugars were crashing so fast again. And I tell people too, because, you know, measurements are so important. And I think it was for that whole week that I kept eating like double the amount of protein or double the amount of pancakes. But yeah, blood sugars were like a big indicator of when I was messing up on my meal plan.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to share with the listeners some of my mistakes that I made along the way. And I may have shared this story. I don't think you had shared those stories, but something that was a huge eye-opener for me. So I look at weight as like a data thing for the most part, just because I don't want to weigh myself once a week and be surprised if I'm like premenstrual and, you know, my weight's up like 3 pounds, but it hadn't been like the day before. So I don't want to freak out, you know, if I have like a huge weight fluctuation. I kind of like to track it and stay on top of it. And I knew that I was like following this meal plan that my coach had given me. This was a couple of years ago. Basically, I was following it to the letter. But the problem was, is that there were these no-cal cookies. So I would see like my weight fluctuate. And then I also had this almond bread that I was eating. And I couldn't understand, you know, if I'm doing all the right things, like why did like I would gain weight every once in a while and there would be no apparent reason. So then I was watching this YouTube video by Lauren Dana Miller, and she was weighing out her pita bread, of all things. And she was kind of showing the listeners or the viewers how much of a difference the packaging would say, like, the calories were. And each serving was based on grams or weight of that pita bread. And she would put it on a scale, and it would be a variable every single time. So I just went ahead and I did that with this bread. First of all, the bread, certain slices, because of the way that it was made, certain slices would be double the amount of calories and then some would be half the amount of calories because the weight of the bread, it was really dense bread because it was almond bread. So it was like I was completely either under eating or overeating various days. And then the same thing with the cookie, these no-cal cookies, they're high in protein, and at the time, I was on a higher fat diet, so that's why I was utilizing these types of foods. If you would go by the package, I think it said, like, per cookie, you know, however many calories, 50 grams. Well, you put that cookie on the scale out of the same box, and it would be a difference of, like, 15 grams, which was a lot of different calorie consumptions, which is one of the reasons.
Especially when you're low.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're, I mean, you could either be overeating and gaining weight and not and thinking you're doing the right thing. So that was kind of one of my fails that I found out really fast. And I know that we have on our Instagram page today, we Coach Deborah had posted this, you know, infographic about peanut butter and how if you're using a spoon, the same spoon, but you know, if you're not weighing out your peanut butter, you can be overeating by, I don't even know what the stat was. It was like more than double the calories. If you're not being precise,
which is another thing I always tell people too, if you want to be super accurate, is get familiar with the food scale because even with, weighing out, like some people use like a measuring cup for oatmeal or they use a measuring cup for like a pancake mix, for example. And there could be huge fluctuations in the amount that you're using. So to get, I mean, with this lifestyle, everything has to be like spot on accurate as much as possible, especially when you're getting down to the nitty gritty. So yeah, getting familiar with the food scale, even if you're doing, if it fits your macros, I think is like a really good tip.
Yeah, I use it with my protein powder because yeah, you can definitely level off, or, you know, sometimes the scoop is not the accurate serving size. And so that's the main
very
one.
True.
And yeah, oatmeal too. You can have it kind of lipping over where it could be off by like 20 grams, which is quite a bit of calories on oatmeal.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
totally agree. Okay. So let's go into some fails during peak week that you've experienced.
Oh yeah. Okay. So peak week for me has always been like super crazy. I would say my first peak week, I remember I was getting used to like all the things that you have to do to get ready, like your skin prep and, you know, getting your cardio and your food maybe like a little bit different and especially your water loading. So there's like a million different things that happen during peak week. And I was like, I tried to add all of those things to my already busy schedule and keep track of all of it. And being overscheduled is just a recipe for me making a million mistakes. And so my first peak week, I got into my car, and I didn't put my shoes on. I had put my sneakers on the roof of my vehicle, and then I had driven down the highway, and at one point, like, I heard a thud, and I thought like a bird flew into my window or something like that, but I kept driving. And then I realized once I got home that one, I had no shoes on and I didn't know where my shoes were. And then I remembered that I put them on the roof. Who puts the shoes on the roof of their car and drives? I don't know.
Peak week
but
brain.
Peak week brain is yes. For real. And then another separate occasion, I had these hair extensions and there's a little packet that came with them that was like a moisture packet. And at some point I had, I think probably like removing the hair extensions to show my hairstylist. I had tore that packet open. And so these little like white, they look like rocks or beads or whatever was like all over my hair extensions. And I pulled into my driveway and I saw them all over my hair extensions. And for some reason I thought that I had like lice and bugs. And so I started freaking out. And I was in my parents' driveway throwing my hair extensions all over the place and emptying my gym bag. I was completely overwhelmed. And it was just like another situation of I had overscheduled myself. And so my brain automatically went to the worst case scenario. And it wasn't until I had talked to my dad because I was literally having a meltdown and he's like, can I help you with something? And I'm like, Dad, I have lice and now you guys have lice and how am I going to compete? And he like looked at it and he's like, I think that these are from like a moisture packet, like very matter of factly told me. And I like, literally I went from like 100 back down to like being super calm. And, and there's been other situations where I've got into fender benders in peak week. So my number one rule is don't schedule more than you're used to during peak week. And if anything, I would eliminate a couple extra things just so that you have a little bit of buffer time to like take your peak week a little bit slower than normal, and avoid a lot of these catastrophes. Because it's already like you get some anxiety about the show coming up. And you don't need these extra little things to kind of like push you over the edge. So
yeah, I encourage some of my competitors that have like really demanding jobs to take, you know, a couple of days off work or maybe, you know, dial down their schedule just because there are some things that kind of consume your time. I mean, just being in the shower
yeah.
alone and shaving your whole body, it just takes like a yeah. long time. Or getting your nails done or getting
yeah.
your hair colored. It's just some extra hours that you don't normally have
yeah.
to factor in. So yeah, it's good to under schedule, especially during peak week. So good advice.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wanted to talk about show day bloopers. Over the years, I've had some kind of crazy things happen on show day. The first one I wanted to mention to the audience is just, This was when, back in the day when I was having my husband use like the painting me with hand painting my tan. And I was wearing my shaper for hours upon hours. So literally I lived in that thing and I didn't know it, but apparently that causes a callus on your skin that's, mm-hmm. you know, invisible to the eye, but basically your stomach, it creates this callus from always being in contact with it. And I woke up show day and I looked at my stomach. I looked like a leopard. I had polka dots all over my stomach. I could not figure it out. The show was in Indianapolis. So, I mean, I was just like, what do I do? I talked to the tanners and they immediately were like, okay, this is from your shaper. We need to put some barrier cream on your stomach so that you can better absorb the tan. If you've gotten a professional tan before, you know that they have you put lotion on your elbows and your kneecaps and your heels and your palms of your hands. It's because those are more callous parts of your body. When they're dry, they're going to absorb the heck out of the tan. So it's going to be ill proportionate to the rest of your body. So basically they had me like find a shower in the venue.
Oh my gosh.
I, like, rinsed off, went up there, and that was my first spray tan, and I've really never gone back other than my foundational. I'll do like my base coat, you know, like the Thursday before if it's a Saturday show, but I don't ever just do like painting anymore. I just feel like it's one of those stressors that, I mean, my cortisol had to have been through the roof because I was freaking out, you know? Definitely invest in, you know, a professional tan just to save yourself the headache of that. And then another huge fail that I had experienced was my suit breaking during the suit inspection. This was back in the day when it was like, you buy a one size fits all off the rack bikini. Literally, I think it was like 2012 or whatever. Bikini had only been around for a couple of years. And so I bought one of those one size fits all, like super cheap. I mean, just to give you a perspective, I paid $50 for the suit. Now,
wow.
It's like,
wow.
I mean, you're getting a deal if you get like a $500 suit. So this is one that doesn't even have crystals on it. It wasn't embellished or whatever. But the suit connector was so cheap that it just popped right off. And luckily I like caught it before it fell off my body. It didn't happen on stage, thank goodness. And so this really nice suit designer that had a booth, she sewed it up for me, but it broke like three different times. She had to sew it up with fishing wire. And I was so self-conscious because I made the mistake. I made the rookie mistake of not bringing a backup suit. So mistake number one. And by the way, this is the only time I ever wore red. I will never wear a red suit again because I was so scarred by it. But anyway, lesson learned. I've always brought a backup and I've since spent more money on a suit that is custom made to my body.
Yeah.
So lesson learned. And then the other two kind of goofy stories I have, and this is probably mostly because they were in different countries and there's a language barrier of Spanish and Italian, but during the athletes meeting, maybe this was told to us, I don't know, but in Spain, we had the prejudging on Saturday and I thought that the finals were that night. Well, come to find out, we do the prejudging and then they're like, okay, see you tomorrow. And I was like, what? I didn't have a hair appointment booked. I didn't have a tan booked, makeup, nothing. And luckily, this girl from Ireland, I kind of befriended. We did each other's makeup and hair, and we kind of pooled together our resources and got it together. But that was definitely something that I don't know how I missed that, but and then in Italy, it was crazy because I did think that that one was a 2-day show. And it ended up that, first of all, the prejudging wasn't until like the night. So I had only brought enough meals thinking it was going to be like, you know, a USA show where like you're done with prejudging by, you know, one or two. I didn't go on stage until like 6:30 p.m.
And oh my gosh,
I was starving and I was so dehydrated. But
and you had a time difference too, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean,
oh my gosh,
obviously, yeah, in Italy. So yeah, it was kind of nuts. And then what I thought was like prejudging, it ended up that it was basically just finals because we exited off stage and then they put us like in this corral, five of us, and they're like, oh, you guys are the top five. And then we just went up there and got our awards. And I'm like, this is so crazy. But yeah, definitely, I guess, moral of the story there. I don't know, if you're in a foreign country, you better make sure that you have everything at the right time. So that you're prepared with food and all of that. But I think even if it's just a U.S. show, it's a good lesson to take from all of that is just know your show, because there are certain national shows that go, you know, the day before you have to hold your peak. Like the Arnold, you have to hold your peak from Thursday to Saturday. Have a strategy ahead of time. Prepare for it. Make sure you have all of your food and everything planned out so that, you know, you're not freaking out and out of food or
always
water.
Be prepared.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wait. So I know that everybody's like biggest fear is like tripping on stage. Have you ever had situations where you tripped on stage during? Because you've done a lot of shows.
Yeah. Fortunately, I've never experienced that. I do remember the first show that I ever watched was the Arnold, and this was back in the day when Aaron Stern was, you know, Miss International, and Nicole, and then Ava Cowan, she was a really well-known pro. I always watched like all of her videos and things like that, kind of getting ready for learning about bodybuilding. And when I watched her at the Arnold on the stage, you know how they have it as part of the expo? Well,
yeah.
Ava Cowan, she was walking up the stairs and she completely just bit it. I mean, hard.
Oh, no.
It was bad.
Oh, no.
That's the only time I've ever seen anybody have like a bad mishap. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Okay. So there was, I remember one national show, I don't remember which one it was, but the surface of the stage was turf. Was black turf. So a lot of people were kind of like losing their footing on that. But for me personally, my first ever show, I had to do that like Model T walk type thing. That was back when my posing was like very flamboyant and very like extra and over the top. Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, those videos, that's like blackmail for me. But anyhow, I remember walking forward and then turning around into my back pose. And because I was bouncing all over the place because I felt like I needed to be like that on stage, I remember like turning into my back pose and my weight shifting backwards. And I almost fell backwards. Like all the weight went into my heels and the whole audience like gasped. And I just remember like catching my balance and then I just kept going. Like I just was like, I caught myself and then I, you know, continued to bounce all over the stage. And then, but yeah, that was my one moment of like, oh my gosh, I almost like landed in the audience. But, I think if you just definitely practice your posing and, I think if you get comfortable in those heels, you don't have to worry about that type of situation.
Yeah. And I mean, my biggest thing with posing that I've just always dealt with, and it just happens randomly because of that adrenaline rush, is just I shake like a leaf. Like I tremor on stage.
Yeah.
Even my lips will quiver and things like that. I don't know why. There's sometimes that it happens and then sometimes it doesn't happen. So, but I haven't tripped. I will say that. At least.
Oh, good. Yes. Good. Yeah. But it happens. If it happens to you, don't worry about it. It happens.
Does. Just kind of roll with it. Yeah. I mean, I've seen people that have won like the overall that have messed up or they won first.
Yeah.
You know, the judges aren't going to, that's not going to be the only factor. So don't get too worked up about it and nervous.
Correct.
So let's talk about our top reasons why we love the prep life before we sign off here.
Yeah, that's great.
What's one of your number one reasons that you enjoy living this prep life?
Okay, so I think that this has been such a huge blessing to my life in establishing really good routines. So like I tell people, the more that you can duplicate a habit or make something part of like your daily routine on a regular basis, it just becomes like automatic. You don't have to necessarily think about it or like kind of coax yourself into doing that. And the longer that I have just incorporated this as my lifestyle and not as a short-term diet and then an off season, the more it's just helped me establish really good habits. Like I don't notice an off season or a dieting phase because I'm always weighing my food. I'm always cooking like whole healthy options. Yeah, there's like a little bit of a difference when I am in a calorie surplus versus like a dieting phase as far as like food choices. But for the most part, I just feel like this is my lifestyle and this is how I live. And so having to not like overthink about like a lot of options and just kind of like having guidance on what I should be eating that's good for my body, I feel like routine has been a really good benefit of being in the prep life.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say for me, it's just I love the discipline of it and just always improving, you know, setting a new goal for myself. And, you know, this is a sport that we do get judged, and I take the judges' feedback, and I like to, you know, if I don't, I need to grow from it, and not get offended by it. So for me, it's not really even about like what place I receive at that show, but it's about, did I bring my best that I've ever brought to stage? So I really don't at this point want to get back on stage until I know that I'm going to beat my last package. And that's kind
of, I love that.
It's kind of a fun, like, challenge for myself on the regular and on the daily just to, you know, constantly improve myself. So.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think another reason, too, that I found that's added a lot of value to my life is just being able to say that you finished something. Like, I think there's something very healthy about giving yourself a challenge and then being able to reach that goal. And we have talked multiple times about the prep life being lifelong, but having that accomplishment of stepping on stage is something that once you experience is very validating, especially when you go through the whole process of preparing your body and like pushing yourself to new limits. So yeah, having a goal, I agree. I think it's super great, but also just having a sense of accomplishing something. I think that and being able to say that you've finished something that you started has been like a really good part of having the prep life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say another really huge benefit for me is just after having my two kids, you know, it started out as like I kind of had a scare about, you know, my cholesterol being too high, and I was always like a workout person. I did a lot of drinking, and so for me, it's really helped me get away from, I can still be able to hang out with friends and do things socially, but I don't have to have alcohol involved in it to make it fun. And I've also been able to, you know, it's cool to try to like alter your diet and try to move the numbers on like my LDLs. I know that sounds super dorky and nerdy, but I like being able to like make improvements that I can see in the numbers and when it comes to being just like a healthy individual. So
yeah, I also think community, like this sport is such a niche community. And that's, I think that can be something that people really struggle with when they start this sport is they feel like, you know, people that aren't involved in bodybuilding or they're not involved in the process don't necessarily understand the focus and like how detail oriented you have to be and how your lifestyle is just very, it has a lot of variables that are just very different. But there is such a, like, I have found there's a great camaraderie in just being with people that are going through the same experience as you. So really making connections with people that are striving for the same goal. And, you know, like, those are your, that's your competition. But those are also people that can really relate to your day in and day out lifestyle changes and challenges that you have to go through. So I think there's a really nice part of the bodybuilding community or the prep life community that has been, like, really encouraging, where people can just relate to each other.
Yeah. And I think just sharing the love, you know, I think paying it forward to other people, I think that's another part of the sport that becomes really rewarding, and just coaching other people and kind of letting them in on this lifestyle, you know, and helping them achieve what they want to achieve in their health and fitness journey. I think that's been something that I've really enjoyed. And then I not only just finding out, like, how my body ticks, like, I really like getting to know, you know, what my body can do for me in regards to that. And then also how I can help athletes kind of find their best version of themselves. So, I mean, it's a lot more than just the body. It's the mind too. And I would say a huge part of it actually is the discipline of the mind and the strength of your mind, because, you know, there's some bites that you could take and some licks that you could take, you know, in the shadows, and no one would know that you did it. But are you strong enough mentally to make it through that? And I think that I've learned just how tough I can be through going through this sport. I don't know what your thoughts are there, but.
Yeah, I would say the mental aspect of this is one of the biggest, I think it's one of the biggest unexpected things that people encounter, because it's a lot of your expectations are to see your physique change, but knowing the training that you have to, you know, like, what you have to work on mentally to be able to execute on a regular basis is, yeah, I think it's a one thing that's not expected, but it's one part that is huge in differentiating your progress in this lifestyle. And I think it's something that's a constant work as well, like how we talk about constantly working on your physique and constantly improving and always reaching for that next goal. I think the mentality part of that is, I think that's really the root of a lot of it. So yeah, I like the mental part as well.
Yeah. And if you're on the fence, you know, it does take a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of strength, mental toughness, but you're never going to know unless you try it. And you're always going to, you know, there's always going to be something that you don't get right. You know, where I look way different than I did my first competition versus now, but I'm always learning something. I take a lesson from every single show, and I think that's the beauty of it. And I think that a lot of people are hesitant. They are just waiting for that right time. Oh, well, when I don't have this celebration coming up, or I have, like, this thing going on, like, there's always going to be something. So you might as well just take it, because that someday is never going to come if you don't, like Wayne Gretzky says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So why not give it a try? See what you're made of. So.
Yeah. I love that. And then the other thing that I really enjoy as well too, and I enjoy as a coach and as an athlete, is just learning about the uniqueness of each individual. I feel like it's just not simple. Like, there's just so many variables with the human body, and people are so different and have so many external factors that it's constantly like a puzzle and trying to figure out. And like, and as your body adapts or changes, then there's more things that you need to constantly adjust to. So I've really enjoyed learning just about my body in general and how to have like a healthy lifestyle and how to get it to like what needs to happen to get it to an optimal level. And I really enjoy as a coach figuring that out about individuals as well too. And I've learned so much from you, Amy, as far as like making individuality a part of contest prep. And yeah, I just think that that's one of the greatest parts of this whole lifestyle.
I couldn't agree more. And thank you so much for your sweet words. That's very kind of you. I have that same drive to figure out the puzzle as well.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in getting your puzzle solved, you can find us at glamgirlbikini.com. If you would like to find us on Instagram, please shoot us a DM. You can apply for the team by clicking the link on our bio. Our handles on Instagram are glamgirlbikini or preplifepodcast. And those of you that have left reviews and ratings, we really appreciate your feedback. And we want to make this a really great podcast for you. This is for you, the listeners. So please don't hesitate to shoot us a DM on Instagram. Let us know if there's a topic that you want to hear about. We would love to share that, you know, any kind of knowledge, or maybe we've failed in that area and we can show you from our failures what we did in that situation. So with that, this is episode 101. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.